but I have a hunch it'd be poorly received." I suppressed my amusement. "At least you're starting to learn. Everyone has to start somewhere. And hey, in honor of our first fight, I promise to find some way to make it up to you." "Good luck," I said brusquely. Studying me, Mason smirked. "You should know I have a history of being turned on by angry women, so it's really in your best interest to forgive me." I snorted.
"That explains a lot about your personality."
"To be clear, it's not like I start arguments for the pleasure of it. I'm just saying that angry sex is generally good sex, so for that reason I might get turned on by an incredibly attractive woman who's pissed off at me. Call it a Pavlovian response."
I raise my eyebrows. Fancy term.
"Shit right. Should I avoid words more than three syllables, now that I know you didn't go to college?"
God. I turned away from him, laughing despite myself.
"Hey, none of that. I earned that smile, so let me see it."
I ignored Mason to lean forward on the table, trying to get Sophia's attention, but he pulled me easily back, leaning into me and catching my jaw. My pulse picked up as he gave that sexy laugh and turned me to face him.
"Don't be stubborn,"
he murmured, as I stared skyward with my grin bitten back.
"Let me see those lips."
Fuck. Something about his words prickled hot over my skin, and just like that, the deep throbbing returned between my thighs. It swelled deeper as Mason drew his thumb over my bottom lip to coax it out, a crooked smile twisting the corner of his mouth as he eyed my bitten, red lips.
"There she is,"
Mason laughed, as I reminded myself to breathe because, fuck, that face was even more dangerously handsome up close and personal. "Damn it, Mace." Thrill and sheepishness buzzed in my cheeks as I sensed the rest of the table watching now. There were little coos and giggles from the girls, but it was Noah who finally spoke up for the guys.
"Jesus Christ, I can't watch this sappy shit anymore."
Breaking away from Mason, I covered my face with my hands, the rest of the table laughing now and teasing us both. My heart raced, and my entire body was hot as Mason put his arm around me, good-natured as he joked back with his friends and told Noah that envy wasn't a good look. "God, what just happened?" I asked myself, feeling hot, bothered, and worst of all, charmed by Mason, especially as he pulled me closer to him and kissed the top of my head. Peeking out from my fingers, I peered at Sophia giggling across the table, pointing at me and touching her cheeks to indicate the red in mine. I rolled my eyes at her, but I couldn't help but agree when she later came down to my end, scooting next to me and whispering, "See? I told you about the Leos. They'll drive you fucking insane. But you can't stop loving them."
Ugh. Love was definitely not the word. Still, she was on to something.
Chapter 8. Like a daily insult, Aaron's mail continued to be sent to my address. I was in the midst of sorting through it the next day when a knock came at my door. I jumped to my feet, my instinct to change out of my baggy t-shirt and frayed sweats. But then I realized it couldn't be Mason at the door because he'd never knock or wait so politely for me to answer.
"Hi?" I said, confused when I saw the young man outside in my hall. He was dressed far better than I was, and he had a polite smile for me as he held out his hand.
Blinking down, I realized he was holding an elegantly embossed black shopping bag.
"For you, Miss Sims."
"Oh." My eyebrows shot up when I took the small bag and felt its weight drag my hand down. "Thank you," I murmured before he gave a single nod and left. The second I closed the door, I rushed to my kitchen table, shoving Aaron's mail haphazardly aside to make room for the bag holding something that had me more desperately curious than I could ever remember feeling. Reaching in, I first pulled out a card. I nearly cast it right aside since I was used to cards never having actual handwritten messages on them. But this one did, and sitting back down in my chair, I read it.
"I've bought clothing for women, but never jewelry. Wear this tonight, and show everyone that my girlfriend has me whipped enough to buy precious stones. Pick you up at 9. M."
I stared. Was he fucking kidding? I didn't care to stand around and ponder it. Suddenly, I was like a sugar-crazed kid on Christmas morning, tearing through the bag and wrapping to find myself finally holding a dark, navy blue rectangular box. I stared at the name of the jeweler and held my breath, urging myself not to put it past Mason to play some elaborate joke on me. I could very well open the box and find inside a pebble from his shoe, or a fucking ring pop. Don't get your hopes up, I breathed as I gently lifted the top of the box. Just take it easy and relax. But that proved impossible once I saw what lay inside the box. Oh my God, I whispered, instantly floored and nearly blinded by the dazzling rock staring back at me. It was a single circular diamond pendant, hanging from a yellow gold chain in the shape of a Y, and it was, in the severest understatement, beautiful. Oh my God, I had to repeat, realizing that the breathy awe I heard from the leading ladies of the most romantic movies was a very real thing. Because I was truly and genuinely speechless, fully convinced that every time that diamond sparkled, it stole another breath of air from my lungs. Rushing to the bathroom, I went to try it on, but I couldn't bear to see the pendant sitting atop a stained blue T-shirt, so before I did, I stripped off my top, and since it was equally awful, my bottoms, and suddenly I was in a pair of black panties with a thread of gold draped over my collarbones. Falling between my cleavage was the stem of the Y-shaped chain, and settling right between my breasts was that diamond I swore I could look at forever. It was so incredibly beautiful, and it made me feel just the same. I needed to text Sophia. It was just my girly instinct. But the second I held my phone in my hands, I found myself typing instead to Mason. His reply came instantaneously, and shocking even myself, I giggled at our conversation. Me. Mace, what the fuck? It's beautiful. Mason. Glad you liked it. Me. Tell me not to get attached because it's rented. Mason. It's yours. I hope it makes you feel better than you felt yesterday. Me. It makes me feel better than I've felt in years. Mason. I'll be sure to tell Aaron. Me. Ha. Mason. Send me a picture. Me. Of me in it? Mason. No, of the sky. What else would I be asking for? Me. I can't now, but later. Mason. Why? Mason. Tell me it's because you tried it on naked. Mason. In case it's not clear, I'm sexting you now. Mason. For the love of God, let me see you, Taylor. I bit my lip so hard at that last text, I could feel my pulse in it when I released. Ignoring Mason's flirtation, I hit my speed dial to call Sophia, who answered right on the first ring. You coming to Noah's tonight? I blinked. Oh, Noah's? Maybe. Mason said we're going somewhere tonight, but he didn't tell me where. Probably Noah's. He's having people over his house tonight, and in case you haven't been, his house is amazing. Oh, cool, I said, pausing for a second and trying to think of a transition. But there was none worthy, so I went for it. So, Mason bought me a diamond. What? I had to spend a good minute calming her down and reassuring her that Mason hadn't lost his mind and proposed, and when I did, she was still rambling, oh my God, on repeat, and asking to see it. So, rifling through my dresser, I yanked on an easy bandeau bra, snapped a picture, and sent it. Whoa, girl. Whoa. Whoa. I could practically see Sophia's progression of faces as she looked at the photo I sent. Is that really? Oh my God, that's the sexiest diamond I've ever seen, and it looks so pretty between your boobs, but girl, you cannot wear that Band-Aid bra tonight. That would be such a buzzkill. This kind of necklace is made for showing off cleavage, which should really not come as a shock to you. I laughed. I couldn't even be mad at Mason for picking something that required a low-cut top. I was too blinded by the sparkle. God, I think that thing is bigger than the rock Aaron bought you, Sophia marveled. Is it? I stood in front of my full-length mirror, in almost a trance as I muttered, not sure, don't care. Yeah, you probably can't remember any other dude that exists on this earth right now, Sophia snorted. No one except your man.
I wiggled my lips at myself. Maybe. Maybe my ass. By the way, do you have any wine at your house? Bottles you bought me. Are you asking because you're coming over? If you think I trust you to pick out a dress that does that rock justice, you're already drunk. I'm not, but fair enough. You gotta do my makeup too, then. Deal. I'll call Mace to tell him I'm your escort tonight, Sophia said excitedly. On the other end, I could already hear the sound of her bounding into her room to pack up her kit of luscious blushes and lipsticks. All right. Goodbye for now, beautiful. But I'm so excited to see you. She trilled into the phone. You too, Taylor, she added before hanging up. Bye, I laughed, tossing my phone on the bed to gingerly brush the tips of my fingers along my beautiful diamond. Sophia was right. I couldn't think of anyone but Mason when I looked at it, mostly because I couldn't wait to see his reaction to me wearing it. And somewhere in the back of my head, I wondered if he really needed to spend this kind of money on a gesture to simply lift my bad mood, or if there was actually a place in his heart where I was more than a prop. So pretty, I breathed to myself, as I turned a few degrees to admire the sparkle of the diamond at a different angle. It was just so incredibly breathtaking, the most beautiful thing I owned, and probably the last thing my head needed. According to Lori, every woman had not just a little black dress, but her little black dress moment. That apparently came when, through either coincidence or a tireless search, you found the one. It would just feel right in your hands, and even better as you pulled it up on your body and felt it wrap tight around your curves. Whether it needed to be zipped up or stretched on, it would qualify as the winner if you looked in your reflection in the mirror and said, "Motherfucker, I look good." My reaction tonight was slightly less profane, actually more of a simple yes. But the way I breathed it out made Sophia shudder. Stop! The sex faces again! So I held it in. But I did love the way I looked in the simple long-sleeve dress with its short skirt and plunging V-neck. Considering the new thigh-high boots I paired with it, I knew I was flirting with danger. He's going to jump your bones the second he sees you tonight, Sophia warned as she did her makeup at my dresser. You might have to take off that necklace and lend it to me to wear for a few hours, so you don't lose it while you're having your roll in the hay. We're not going to a farm. Your roll in the sack. Or, since we're talking Noah's house, your roll in the $4,000 Swedish mattress. Yeah, I'm not having sex with Mason at Noah's house, I said, my cheeks hot. Or anywhere. Seriously, if my boyfriend bought me that necklace, I'd have sex with him on the street if he wanted. Dear God, Sophia. She giggled as she powdered her heart-shaped face. Seriously. Let's pretend Noah's my boyfriend. If Noah fought some asshole in my honor and followed that up by dropping... Through the mirror, she squinted at my necklace. At least 5 G's on a diamond for me. I'd gladly let him bend me over any surface in this city and fuck me till he had to carry me home. Jesus, it sounds like you just want to fuck Noah, I smirked. Don't change the subject on me. We're talking about you and Mason, and the fact that he is either in love with you or falling fast. I let out a shrill laugh. Whoa! Let's not talk the L word. That's a little intense. Fine. But you gotta admit that some of this is surprising. I knew he liked you, Taylor, and you know I love you. But I really never expected Mace to care about any woman as much as he already cares about you. I pursed my lips as I thought about it. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't surprised by some of Mason's gestures. We were very much a fake couple, but he was very truly angered yesterday when I told him about Aaron's colleagues. I could excuse him chasing after them and forcing Trevor to apologize to me because there were witnesses for that. That lent well to our act. But I couldn't think of an explanation for the way Mason had caught my eye the second I returned from the bathroom. Before anyone else even noticed, he had detected my distress from afar, and I had seen the concern in his eyes. When he rushed to ask what happened, his back was turned to the dining room, so no one could see the look of unfiltered anger haunting his face as he demanded to know how I was wronged. I'd thought about it last night in bed, and though I knew I was indulging in overanalysis, I concluded that Mason's need to defend my honor last night wasn't completely an act, and it was kind of nice to realize. Of course, another part of me hated realizing that, too, because it confused the hell out of me. After dinner at Lady Mercer last night, and after acting a bit cutesy with Mason, I'd already woken up feeling vaguely different. Happier than usual, but wary of feeling that way. It was such a push and pull within my own body that I tried to numb my brain by doing something mundane and slightly torturous, like sorting Aaron's mail. But then that incredible damn diamond arrived at my door. Yeah. I shook my head to myself, staring for the 100th time at its radiating beauty. This is just so crazy. Sophia beamed. Sure is, but it's awesome and beautiful, and you should just own it. I ran my finger along the fine chain of the necklace. Well, he bought it for me, so I think I do own it. I mean your relationship with Mason, Sophia said dryly. I can see you being overwhelmed by it, and it's totally understandable. But you should just embrace what you're feeling right now, Taylor. I mean, when was the last time you felt as happy as you do right now? I frowned as I thought about it. God, that's a good question. Oddly enough, the first thought that popped into my mind was my first promotion at Vandermark 4 years ago, before I even met Aaron. Of course, I was happy with Aaron in the first 8 to 10 months of our relationship, but I couldn't pin a specific day to compare to the heights I'd already felt today. You're taking forever to answer, so it was clearly ages ago, Sophia said, smacking her freshly painted lips. Which means you're the happiest now that you've been in maybe years, and considering everything, everything, including things that happened before Aaron even left, she said hastily, staring me down through the mirror to let me know she wasn't backing down from her words. You really and truly deserve to live in this moment and take all the pleasure that life is offering you. Stop questioning. Just enjoy. And what better place to do it than Noah Van Dahl's crazy fucking bachelor pad? Right? I smiled. I don't know. I've never been there before. Grabbing her clutch and coat off my dresser, Sophia spun to flash a big, dazzling smile. Well, you're about to, lady. Now put on your coat, so you can go wow your man, and have the best fucking night of your life. Chapter 9. I underestimated how much chefs made in New York, because Noah Van Dahl's apartment knocked me damn near off my 4-inch heels. The Tribeca penthouse was the picture of modern luxury, with heated walnut floors, its own private gym, and an indoor pool, where apparently the majority of the party was gathered. No swimsuit? Noah grinned as he greeted Sophia with a bear hug. Not swimming if you don't, Sophia said, pulling back to frown at his dry body fully clothed in a black crew neck and black jeans. Despite short, clean-cut hair that screamed corner office, tattoos peeked out from every edge of Noah's shirt. His dark eyes were bleary, and from the way he held his drink, I guessed it probably wasn't his first, second, or even eighth of the night. Noah, you know Taylor, of course. He gave me a single upward nod. Then upon spotting my necklace, he shielded his eyes. Christ, it's like staring into the sun. Sophia giggled, shedding her coat then taking mine. Uh-uh. Your bestie bought it for her because he's whipped. Noah's eyebrows ascended with downright shock. Mason bought you that? He paused for several moments to process the fact. Fuck whipped. He's clearly neutered, he muttered, coming closer to let his glassy eyes examine me. Giving my thigh-high boots and little black dress the once-over, he nodded at me. And I guess you're rewarding him by dressing like a sex kitten tonight. Good move, considering the raccoons. Raccoons? Sophia rolled her eyes. Mason's groupies. Noah will explain why he calls them that. I'm not sticking around to listen, though. She snorted, going off to put our coats somewhere. Once she was out of sight, Noah smirked. Before we get into that, how is it so far?
How is what?
pretending you'd voluntarily date Mason, he replied. Before I could ask any questions, he supplied my answer. I know the truth, he told me, but don't blame him. I would have figured it out on my own. I don't have quite as many rainbows and unicorns in my heart as Sophia, so I wouldn't exactly buy the fact that you decided to hook up with Mace. Not after your rocky relationship with him the past few years.
I arched an eyebrow. And how do you know about my relationship with Mason? He's talked to you about me?
No, I know from Aaron,
Noah said, making me feel promptly idiotic for being so hopeful.
Your ex used to come to my parties sometimes, which gets us back on the topic of the raccoons.
Right, I made a face. The groupies. Explain the nickname to me. Noah laughed.
The lady stalkers. They have these big black rings around their eyes. I think they call it makeup, but Soph would disagree. They come out only at night. Great at breaking and entering and trying to pass it off as something cute. Can get destructive when they don't get what they want. Also might as well be rabid and foaming at the mouth considering how desperate they are to get their hands on Mace. So good job wearing...
Noah trailed off to look me up and down again.
Whatever outfit this is, 'cause that'll keep most of them at bay tonight. Can't really compete with this look, especially not when it includes that fucking rock.
I couldn't help my smile as I touched the stone between my cleavage. Taking advantage of Noah's inebriated state, I asked, "Are you as surprised as I am?"
"By what?"
"The fact that he bought this for me." Noah gave a short laugh, running his hand through his hair and thoroughly messing it up.
I am definitely confused. Yeah, but hey, when Mace wants to do something right, he goes all in. So maybe this is just him trying to show Aaron and the world that you two are a legit as fuck couple, he said.
But before my shoulders could even slump in disappointment, he added,
or who knows, maybe it's a sign of something else.
I bit my lip. Like what?
I don't know. That he likes you more than Eva Tully, at least? 6 months with her, and he sure as shit never bought her anything like that. Definitely never busted out the PDA with her, either. Like he did with you at dinner last night. That gave me fucking cavities, by the way. So thanks for that.
No problem. But like you said, he might just be doing all this to make us look like a real couple. Right? I prodded curiously, realizing shamefully that I was asking in hopes of being told otherwise.
Well...
Noah squinted. Pausing, he rattled the ice cubes in his empty glass.
Fuck. When did I finish this?
He slurred. And just like that, I lost his drunken attention.
Hey, everyone's at the pool. Want to get a drink?
He asked, as if forgetting our prior conversation entirely. A part of me was tempted to grab his shoulders and shake him back to consciousness. But as he swayed in front of me, I had to laugh and just let it go.
Sure.
Lead the way. Trailing behind, I followed Noah up two levels. The bass of the music faded into my ears, and then blared the second we opened the sliding glass doors to the massive enclosed terrace. Lounging around the white couches and splashing in the glittery water were upwards of 100 beautiful people. Amid them, I looked around for mine. I was eager to find Mason and couldn't deny that anymore. Between Sophia's encouragement and Noah's tipsy honesty, I found myself genuinely excited to see him, which was why my heart stopped when I finally found his blue eyes cutting into me from well across the room.
Whoa.
I swallowed hard, both nervous and flattered by the way he looked at me. Despite everyone sitting down around him, he stood straight, coming to me, as if I possessed a magnetic pull. I didn't expect this reaction, nor did I expect it to freeze me in place. But it did, and the second he was close enough to cut my elbow, my heart rate felt like it was double its usual. Hey, I managed.
Hey. Christ, Taylor. You look fucking...
Eyes on my legs, Mason pressed his fist to his mouth. With a groan, he muttered,
good.
Before stepping back and clearing his throat, tucking my hair behind my ear, I processed how impossibly good he looked himself, in a white sweater with the sleeves pushed up his muscled forearms.
That necklace couldn't look better on you.
Shocked, by the way, that you chose a necklace that basically lives in cleavage. Mason laughed.
Just had a feeling it'd look good on you. And Christ, was I right.
I bit my lip. The words thank you were at the tip of my tongue. But for some reason they wouldn't come out. Mason didn't seem to care. Stepping closer, he peered out at the party and then pulled me into him by my waist.
Figured this was a good place to let you show the world how you've got me wrapped around your pinky.
I'd agree. And the diamond is definitely a good start.
I'd hope so. What else can I do to show them you're not just a fling?
I glanced around to confirm a few curious eyes before looking back at Mason. I don't know. Look at me like you're smitten? Mason smirked when he spoke. His voice was low and sober.
Easy,
he said, reaching to push a stray blonde lock behind my ear. Circling his arm around my waist, Mason pulled me tighter to him, till I could feel the solid length of his chest against my bare skin. Despite my breasts pressed up against him, he kept his eyes on mine, his fingers lightly entwined in my hair. Catching his masculine scent, I felt nearly hypnotized, so I forced myself to disrupt the moment. Not bad. Fairly convincing. Mason laughed.
I thought we were well past this game by now.
What game?
The one where you act like I'm faking my physical attraction to you. You got my dick hard as a fucking rock in public yesterday. I think you should know by now that I genuinely enjoy looking at you, and that it's going to be torture for me tonight.
I struggled to muster up a response. What do you mean?
That I'm gonna get to watch you all night tonight, wear you on my arm, look at you, touch you. But I can't go anywhere beyond that, and if we're being honest here, it's going to fucking suck.
My lashes fluttered with surprise for his words. He was always flirtatious, but I was sure this was the first time Mason admitted to wanting something more from me, beyond what we agreed to in our deal. The thought had my blood rushing to my cheeks, my lips, that annoying pulse between my thighs. Well, maybe, I trailed off, desperate to indulge my itch to flirt and provoke and see just how badly Mason wanted me. But I knew it was a bad idea, and I still had too much pride. Maybe we can arrange for you to relieve your sexual frustrations with one of the more discreet raccoons here tonight. Mason choked with laughter.
Christ. Guessing you picked that up from Noah?
Yes, I grinned, staring ahead at my hands pressed flat on Mason's chest. I couldn't resist smoothing them up his sweater, watching his eyes cloud over with what looked like desire, as my fingers lightly stroked. First and last time I'll ever use that term. Promise.
Not a problem. I have no interest in going near any of those girls tonight.
He said, smiling down at me.
My promise to you. Now, let's go get a drink.
Predictably, I overanalyzed what Mason said as he brought me over to the couches he'd been sitting on with some of his friends I'd met yesterday at Noah's restaurant. I said my hellos and chatted, gushing genuinely with the wives and girlfriends about the diamond.
Holy hell, that thing is bigger than my engagement ring. One of the women marveled before lowering her voice and huddling closer to me with her friends. For God's sake, Taylor, you've got to tell us how on earth you tamed Mason Leo, because Lord knows we all tried our hand at it before settling for our husbands.
Quinn! One of the others gasped, smacking Quinn playfully. But then she turned to me with grave intensity.
Seriously, though, what did you do? 'Cause I'll replicate it to a T if it means I can get Steven to buy me something half as fucking stunning as that.
I laughed nervously, briefly catching Mason's eye as he spoke with his friends. God damn it, he was sexy. One crooked grin in my direction, and he had me genuinely giggling with the women. Honestly, I'm not sure. I give him shit all the time and call him out for being an asshole. Maybe it's the honesty he likes, I joked.
That, and the fact that you look like walking sex tonight, girl.
Quinn winked, giving me that last boost of confidence before Mason whisked me off to get a drink at the bar.
Hitting it off with the wags, I see.
He grinned, hand on my lower back, as he asked the woman working the bar for a bourbon, neat.
Not the easiest feat, so good job on that.
I smirked, It's easy when they see you as the mystical fairy who finally put a lockdown on Mason Leo's famous dick. Mason grinned.
For your own sake, I'm going to need you to not talk about my dick right now, he said, leaning against the bar to gaze down at my legs wrapped in suede.
Christ. He groaned under his breath before gathering himself and asking,
What would you like to drink?
I might need a second before I drink. I had a glass at home with Sophia. Mason laughed.
Is your tolerance really that low?
I parted my lips to answer, but across the roof, I suddenly spotted a familiar brunette in a pink bikini, a giant smile on her lips as she hoisted her wet body out of the pool. Fucking hell, I breathed out.
What?
Mason turned just in time to see Whitney Decker, giving a sultry toss of her wet hair behind her back.
Oh. He returned his unfazed attention to me. Say the word, and Noah will tell her to leave.
No, I tore my stare off of her. I'd rather not give her the satisfaction of thinking I'm threatened. But now I think I do need to have a drink.
Good. Tequila?
Absolutely not, I breathed out, ordering a Sauvignon Blanc instead. Off Mason's unimpressed look, I said, I have to. I stopped drinking for a while, so I don't have much of a tolerance anymore. Funny enough, it's thanks to a night that has to do with Whitney. I'd drunk myself halfway to death that awful night, certain that my relationship with Aaron was over thanks to Whitney frickin' Decker. I found myself wanting Mason to ask about the night, but looking up at him, I found him returning a wave from some friends across the roof. My heart sagged a bit. I genuinely hated talking about Whitney. That night, or any of the thing that tended to spiral me into the bad memories, but for some reason, I was itching to talk about it with Mason right now. I couldn't explain it, and I kind of hated myself for it because it was clear as Mason guided me back to the couches that he had no interest in hearing about whatever drama happened to me 2 years ago. He cared enough to defend my honor from sexist assholes like Aaron's colleagues, but he didn't care enough to take on any of my emotional burdens, and that was perfectly normal. I tried to remind myself of that as we sat down with his friends, but I found myself falling into a bit of a mood as I sat there amid the jovial conversation, and it only worsened when Whitney pranced over and squeezed her bikini-clad body in a seat across from Mason and me. She didn't immediately say anything, but I could tell from the way she peered at us that she was brainstorming, trying to conjure up some of her best insult material yet. It made my body stiffen, and with his arm around me, Mason clearly felt it because despite being in the midst of sports talk with Noah, he turned and cocked his head at me.
"What's up? You all right?"
he asked. Just as I tried to answer, Whitney gasped and snatched his attention, along with everyone else's.
Mason Leo. Fucking your little brother's ex. She clucked scandalously, eyeing me to soak in the discomfort I refused to show. I have to say, very charitable of you.
Mason gave her a blank look.
I'm afraid I don't follow.
Just commending the fact that you're using your sexual talents to boost this poor gal's confidence. And I mean, it's working, right, Tay?
Whitney asked with a big smile. I didn't engage in her bait, but she went on.
Fucking Mason to get over the fact that your fiancé left you for a 10?
Jaws dropped around me, but I stared barely a second before responding, Yes, now that I've had Mace, it's good to know that I almost married into a lifetime of mediocre sex. Dead quiet before, the crowd around us erupted into oohs and raucous laughter. Slumped on the couch, drunker than ever, Noah nodded his approval and gave me a drunk thumbs up. I chewed my grin back, a chill rippling up my legs when Mason squeezed my bare knee.
Easy, Tiger.
I looked up at him.
On what?
Complimenting me without warning. I'm not used to it, and it's extremely arousing.
I laughed and took a drink of my wine. Don't get too excited. It's not exactly a real compliment, considering I've never actually had sex with you.
I think even you know that if you did, no one else in your history would compare.
Mason smirked.
Least of all, my brother.
Thinking about the somewhat routine sex I had with Aaron for years, I tilted my head.
You might have a point, I said, expecting Mason to pump his fist in triumph, but instead, he leaned his head back and groaned. Fuck, Taylor. What? Feeling sexually frustrated by all this fake sex talk? I teased quietly.
Yes, right on the money.
Would it be horrible, then, if I used you right now to further piss off Whitney? I asked, eyeing her across from me. She was engaged in conversation with the guy next to her, but her eyes were on us, and shamefully so. They didn't bother to avert when I caught her stare.
It would be torture, but I'm not going to stop you.
I chewed my lip, already feeling the buzz from just half a glass of wine. So lifting my legs, I draped them over Mason's lap. His heavy-lidded eyes shot awake when my skirt rode several inches up my thighs. Sitting up, he pulled it down for me, muttering under his breath as he shook his head.
Yeah, I know you don't actually belong to me, but fuck if I'm going to let any guy here look up your skirt.
Sorry, I grinned, crossing one leg over the other. Mason watched my dress ride up another inch, but this time he left it to study me with disbelief.
You know, you're fucking evil when you've had a little bit of wine, he said, taking the glass from my hands and setting it aside.
I feigned shock for having my drink confiscated.
Really?
You're going to be the controlling boyfriend right now?
No, I'm going to be the guy who tries to prevent the worst case of blue balls he's ever had in his life.
What do you mean?
I mean the more you drink, the more you like to torture me, apparently. And as much as I want you to flash me your panties, I'm not exactly sure I can handle seeing that much of you right now.
I chewed my lip so hard it hurt. And why not? I asked, thrilled by the dead seriousness in Mason's eyes.
Don't fucking tease me, little girl. You know exactly why not.
God. I do. I felt a wickedness crawling through me as I chewed my lip. But for some reason, I want you to spell it out for me. Mason sneered.
You don't want that,
he murmured, eyes staring hard ahead at nothing. I hooked my fingers into the neck of his sweater and felt the inaudible groan he let out. Why? You don't think I can handle it? I challenged. Tits, ass, cock. I know those words, Mason, and I know you think I'm so deeply prissy and vanilla, but I'm actually a big girl, so you can go ahead and use them on me, I said, burning hot and for some reason wanting to feel even hotter. My heart beat faster when Mason turned to me.
You want it then?
His mutter was raspy and low, and his eyes burned so deep into mine. I felt paralyzed before he even spoke.
Fine, Taylor,
he whispered, pressing his hand down hard on my thigh.
You walked in here, and the first thing I thought of was how goddamn good you looked, and how bad I wanted to rip that dress off those perfect tits of yours. I thought about what you'd look like in those boots alone, and it turned me into a bit of a fucking crazy person for a second, because I had some very real thoughts about grabbing you, taking you home, and fucking you on my bed till I could hear those pretty lips screaming my name. Does that get the point across? Or do you want to hear just how hard and deep I imagined my cock inside you?
Holy fuck. Just like that? Panties ruined. And suddenly, I was the one who couldn't look Mason in the eye. I stared ahead, breathing jaggedly and trying to figure out how to calm myself down and come back to Earth. But promptly ruining my process was Sophia, who found us at the couches and forced everyone to scoot down for her, which of course had me quickly smashed up against Mason's hard chest, arms around his neck, and my skirt riding so high up my bent legs that he actually growled as he yanked it back down this time, and so hard that it brought my deep V several inches lower on my breasts.
Fucking Christ, Taylor,
he hissed, removing me from his body.
I need to either fuck you now, or you need to get far away from me.
I stared, stunned by his words. When my arms fell from around his neck, he let out a hard breath, flashing me an I-didn't-mean-it-that-way look. But it was too late. A disturbed frown pinched my brows, as I felt suddenly as cheap and dirty as the diamond on my neck was supposed to make me not
feel. What the hell are you doing, Taylor? I demanded myself, before swinging my legs off Mason's lap and getting up. Restroom? I asked Noah in a perfectly normal voice, so as to thwart attention. When he pointed me in the direction, I turned, avoiding Mason's eyes as I made a beeline back into the penthouse. What the fuck? My heart was beating fast as I walked aimlessly inside. I wasn't so much trying to find the bathroom as I was trying to figure out what exactly made me feel like shit just now. Oh, I know. Probably the fact that I'd just heard Mason express genuine desire for me for the first time. But it fucking sucked. It essentially translated to, if you're not servicing me, you're of no worth to me. And it made me feel so goddamn stupid for being so openly flirtatious with him tonight. Why did you let Sophia hype you up? I scolded myself, remembering that Mason Leo was still Mason Leo. He was a man I'd hated for a reason for years, who thought with his dick before all else. And I might actually be insane if I thought that hanging out with me for a week would somehow alter his way of thinking.
Bathroom's the door next to the mirror.
Jumping, I spun around to find myself facing Whitney. For God's sake, what do you want? I asked, apparently fresh out of fucks to give for the night. She simpered.
Grabbing a bottle of water, but now I'm just laughing to myself.
Well, enjoy. I turned to go, but she stopped me with what she said next.
I know you haven't had sex with Mason yet. I could tell even before the weird little exchange you just had on the couch.
She grinned when I stopped to look at her.
See? You can't even pretend or deny it. You're obviously with him to get Aaron's attention, and he obviously gave you that beautiful fucking necklace because he's hoping to squeeze a little sex out of you before whatever arrangement you have going on is over.
She smiled as she shook the water from her hair, waiting patiently for me to hit back with a retort. But I had nothing.
I mean, I can't blame Mace for being curious about fucking his little brother's ex. Though, honestly, I doubt the taboo of it will make up for your lack of bedroom enthusiasm. Aaron told me all about it, she said, smirking at the absolute shock frozen on my face.
There was no lack of bedroom enthusiasm, unless Aaron was talking about the few months after the worst time of our lives, which I prayed to God he wasn't, because he knew exactly why I couldn't bring myself to have sex at that time. I didn't feel bad about it either, because I was every bit justified, and if Aaron had really gone and griped to Whitney about how I was feeling during that time, I was about sure now that I'd murder him once I saw him in St. Lucia.
Anyway, it's kind of funny, right? Whitney asked. Pretty soon you'll be the only girl who's been used and dumped by both Leo brothers. Impressive, honestly, but also kind of fucking tragic, if you ask me.
Clucking with mock sympathy, Whitney giggled to herself. Then she grabbed a bottle of water and waltzed back out just as Noah came in trashed, holding a bottle of tequila. He barely registered brushing past Whitney on the way in, but he did stop and notice me, frowning curiously.
Couldn't find the bathroom?
I ignored him. Can I have some of that? He looked down at his half-empty bottle.
Thought you only drank wine.
I clenched my jaw.
Nope. Wanna pour me a shot?
His eyes were barely open at this point, but he managed a grin and nodded toward the counter.
Why the fuck not? Show me what you got, Sims.
So one after another, he poured me shots. And one after another, they burned the memories away. Chapter 10. If she weren't wasted herself, Sophia would have murdered Noah. But since she was in fact quite wasted, she joined us in the penthouse with an exuberant whoop, knocking back her first round as I did my third. I closed my eyes, shuddering at the liquid scorching my throat and leaving a trail of fire as it trickled down to my chest.
Are you happy?
Sophia whispered to me in that kid-like voice that came out when she was truly drunk.
Tell me you're happy.
I laughed. Quite the opposite. But it's okay.
What? Why? She gasped with genuine puppy eyes. You have everything right now. You have that necklace and Mason and me and...
She trailed off, oblivious to so much I wished I could just tell her the truth right now. That Mason and I weren't real. Nowhere close.
The necklace was purchased half out of the need to legitimize our image, and half out of curiosity to fuck me. He was still a prick of a human being, yet tragically he was still much better than his brother. My ex-fiancé, who had apparently been secretly bitter and hiding resentment for my lack of libido during the worst time of my life. A time that, again, could have been avoided if I could just get that one night back. But you're an idiot, I sang in my head, my chest hot and my head spinning, as I let Sophia take my hand and spin me around in a silly dance, our fingers entwined and our heels clacking all over the floor. The room was a carousel around me as I laughed, and when she accidentally let go of me, I yelped, only to find myself slamming right into a hard body, with strong arms that caught me before I could hit the ground.
What's going on? I looked up at my hero.
Mason. Of course. His hard eyes were glued to Noah, who was still pouring shots at the counter. He flicked his stare to Sophia for a second before looking down at me. His look, one of concern, mixed with anger.
You said you didn't have a tolerance left, Taylor. How much did you just drink?
Not a lot, I said defensively. But enough, Sophia cackled. Mason shot her a look, but his attention snapped back to me when I wrestled out of his grip. Catching my hand, he pulled me back to him.
Get her coat for me, Noah, he said. We're going home.
Why? I challenged. I don't want to go home, and I certainly don't want to go home with you.
If this is something about your misinterpretation of what I said outside, we can easily clear it up. But before we do that, you should probably drink some water, and I should probably get you home.
Misinterpretation? I ignored the rest of what he said. I'm not sure exactly how someone can misinterpret the words, fuck me or fuck off.
Was that what I said?
Mason glowered, ignoring Sophia's faint, tipsy plea to be nice. Just about. Mason lowered his voice.
Look, I don't know what's got you acting particularly fucking difficult, but if it has anything to do with Whitney, or something she might have said when she came in here, you should just fucking let it go. She's petty and immature, and she should be nobody to you.
She's far from nobody, but you'd know that if you cared to ask. All right, Mason, let's just drop it, okay? Whatever happens to me or has happened to me is none of your business, and you've made that clear, I muttered, just as Sophia inserted herself between us. Hey, 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 come on, guys. I don't know what's going on, but I sense that we all need to just breathe and cool down a bit, right?
Yeah, go jump in the pool or something,
Noah said, knocking back another shot. It was a sarcastic suggestion, but Sophia gasped as I blinked the tequila burn from my eyes, surprised by the fact that, fuck it, I wanted to do exactly that. I wanted to dive into crystal clear water and just wash this grimy, nasty feeling away. I wanted to sink till I hit rock bottom, found my fresh start, and burst back above the surface a brand new woman, no longer haunted by Aaron or Whitney or any other demons of my past.
You can barely stand, let alone swim right now.
Mason pulled me tight with a look of controlled anger on his face.
Listen to me, Taylor. I want to take you home and make sure you're fine. I want that more than anything right now, okay? So will you fucking let me?
I stared into his eyes, struck by how earnest he could sound despite the profanity. But then I reminded myself to stop letting him charm me and trick me and fuck my mind up more than it could probably afford anymore. And before I knew it, I was hand in hand with a whooping Sophia. She was jovial and exuberant, and everything I wanted to be, as our heeled feet made their way to the edge of the pool. Mason trailed behind us. I could hear him coming, already regretting his decision to let go of me. His footsteps were faster, more urgent than ours, but we had the head start and the tequila-inspired tunnel vision.
We wanted water, and that was what we were going to get.
Taylor!
Mason's voice was incensed behind me, but it was too late, because my feet had left the ground. I gasped and squeezed my eyes shut, and I heard the collective cheer of the crowd around us before the incredible splash. Then there was total blissful silence. My skin stung and my eyes closed as I floated, my arms out at my sides. I felt Sophia's fingertips brushing against mine. I tickled them back. I pretended for as long as I was submerged that I was nothing but happy, and I didn't actually live a life of mostly embarrassment and suffocating regret. I wanted to imagine a different childhood, too, but there was a crescendo of voices growing from above as I felt the lack of air expanding my chest and creeping up my throat till my lips broke wide open, letting water flood in a second before I burst back to the surface with a gasp. "Oh, my God!" Sophia burst into breathless laughter as her hands found mine, fingers entwined and heads bobbing above water. Our eyes found Mason as he stared down at just me.
"Oh, shit. He took his shoes off,"
Sophia whispered with a giggle as I realized that Mason had been a second from coming in after me. Maybe I looked drunk enough to forget how to swim. Maybe he thought diamonds melted in chlorine. Whatever it was, I was surprised, blinking water from my lashes, letting the tension build between us as I continued staring up at him. When it was finally time to get out, it was Noah who grabbed our hands and pulled us back onto ground. I ignored the heat of Mason's stare from where he sat now, giving no attention to the grins and nudges of other guys who were now watching me and Sophia walk around like dual winners of the wettest t-shirt contest on Earth.
"You're in trouble now," Sophia sang, covering her mouth. "And I'm only laughing because that's my bad habit when I'm drunk and nerve..." Oop!
Toppling in her heels, she took me down with her. I gasped but snorted hard once I hit the ground on my ass, finally lost in my stupor, my mind almost as blank as I wanted it to be. A dozen guys were rushing forward to help us now, and I knew the kindness had every bit to do with my soaking cleavage, but I didn't care. I let them help us up, and catch me when I gasped again, processing the pain in the ankle I'd slightly twisted during my fall. But then I heard footsteps, and the second Mason's voice said, "I've got it." The other hands fell away, and before I knew what was happening, I was being lifted off the floor. Playful whistles followed Mason as he scooped me up and took me away from the pool, carrying me like a feather despite my soaking wet everything. Gross. I felt the squishiness in my thigh-high boots and longed immediately to strip them off my legs. Luckily, Noah was already leading us to the guest rooms to get cleaned up and changed. Downstairs, despite Sophia's insistence that she change in the same room as me, Noah dragged her to a separate one, making her giggle by saying, "The grown-ups need to talk." Then he exchanged a look with Mason before leaving him alone in a room with me. The second the door closed behind us, I found myself feeling painfully sober. I was with just Mason now, soaking wet, pissed, and alone, with the 6 feet and 2 inches of hard fury standing silently before me. My throat tightened as I took him in, looking like a warrior. His shoulders broadened, and his muscles strained against his V-neck with every breath he drew in. He set me right on fire with his stare, his steely eyes starting at the tips of my boots, before dragging up my legs, inch by inch. I could see his fury mix with desire, as his gaze traveled up my stomach to my chest, settling on the diamond still sitting peacefully on my chest, as if nothing even happened. Reaching between my breasts, I touched the stone. "Why did you even buy it for me?" The question came out suddenly, without me realizing. It hung in the air as Mason gave himself another second to stare at my wet skin.
"To make you feel good."
"What kind of good?"
"The kind that reminds you that you should never feel disposable or used."
I swallowed at the rasp in his voice. I knew what I wanted to ask next, but I wasn't sure if I had the guts. There was another long, thick silence before I mustered up the courage.
"Are you just trying to fuck me?"
Mason paused.
"Is that why you think I bought the diamond?"
Yes? Eyes glinting, a sneer curled his lips.
Of course, he muttered bitterly. You're as irrational as you are fucking impossible to please.
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
He ignored me. Take your dress off. You'll get sick.
Turn around, I said impatiently. When he did, I glared at the sculpted V of his back, furious as I peeled my dress off my body. Tell me what the hell you meant. From the back, I could see him running his hand over his jaw.
What do you think, Taylor?
There was gravel and disdain in his voice.
You don't see rationally when it comes to me. You never have. No matter what I do, I'm the bad guy. But aside from the fact that I have a dick and like sex, I'm actually kind of fucking lost on what I ever did to you.
I stared at the back of his head, my jumble of angry thoughts and bottled memories piercing into an answer. Put yourself out of your misery, I hissed, shoving the ring of soaked cotton down my waist and off my hips. I heard you say it to Aaron at his birthday party, Mace, 2 years ago. He was miserable. He just got passed up for a promotion at work, and he pulled you aside. I was around the corner when you told him he could be fucking any woman he wanted if he just ended it with me. If he just put himself out of his misery. Fresh tears stung my eyes and my voice was shaking, but I forced myself to go on. And guess what? He asked for a break the next week, and during that break, he came an inch from cheating on me with Whitney Decker, a girl who is one of a million reasons I wish I could rewind my life to before that fucking break. Because everything was fine before it happened, and then after, everything was shit. Everything was pain and regret and confusion. Is that explanation enough for you? I demanded furiously, my emotions on such a high that I didn't flinch when Mason turned around. I didn't move as I stood there in a soaked bra and panties, my dress puddled at my heeled feet, because his blazing eyes were nowhere on my body. They locked intensely on my stare, as it challenged him to somehow explain himself.
For Christ's sake, Taylor, it wasn't unprompted.
What wasn't?
What you heard that night. I said it only because Aaron was bitching to me for weeks by that point about how he made a mistake, how settling down so fast made him realize how much pussy was still out there. He was the only person standing in his way of being single. But if he wanted to fuck things up, I told him to go fucking ahead. To get it over with if he really wanted to get rid of the best thing he had going. And I'm guessing those were the crucial words you didn't hear that night. All that said, I didn't cause your damned break, Taylor. I didn't cause all the problems that happened during your break, and whatever they were, I didn't cause the ones that happened after. So maybe it's time to stop using me as a fucking scapegoat, Mason hissed, taking a heavy step forward. And while we're getting things straight here, let me tell you again that I didn't buy that necklace to get you in bed. I'm not trying to fuck you. Don't get me wrong. I want to. I've wanted to for a long goddamn while. And I've pictured you in bed more times than you want to imagine. But trust me, if I was trying to fuck you, Taylor, you'd know it.
Mason growled, the heat of his words coating my skin.
Now, are there any other assumptions you've made about me that you'd like disputed, or are we fucking done here?
I wet my lips, the air in the room feeling too thick to breathe. Shit. Shit, hell, fuck. I should have known. I really should have, considering I was hardly surprised to hear it now. I should have at least suspected that Aaron was the bigger monster all along. The whole time, the man I forced myself to believe was so perfect was actually still talking to Whitney when he said he wasn't. He was complaining about me during the worst pain of my life, and apparently, he had never stopped wondering about all the pussy that was still out there. But I let myself stay blind, because I thought I needed him then. I thought I owed him, so I held on. And all for this. I'm done, I finally said, my throat tight, my chest weighed in shame, as I thought about that one conversation, that one stupid, incomplete memory that had skewed my every future impression of Mason. My mouth opened and closed,
as I tried to find my apology. But nothing came, so I simply murmured, "I'm sorry."